Philadelphia, are you ready?
No, he said, are you ready?
This is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, your first stop for everything professional wrestling. So sit back and enjoy wrestling talk at its finest with your hosts, Larry Hall and Joe Corrado.
Welcome to another episode of Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast. And on today's show, we do have another interview. And it is a stand-up comedian slash wrestler. His name is Jay Washington. And
I will say this.
Yeah.
From now on, I know it's going to be damn near impossible. We only get comedians slash wrestlers on this podcast because it makes our job so much easier. We really don't have to do anything because they know the wrestling business and they're funny as hell. And this was no exception.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun talking wrestling and laughing at the same time. And just sit back and get to know Jay Washington.
You're all really going to enjoy this.
Yes. Welcome to the show, everybody. In today's show, we have Jay Washington on the show with us. Jay, welcome to Brotherly Love Wrestling.
Hi, man. Thank you for having me on, man. Brotherly Love sounds like a great thing to talk about wrestling. You know, not even wrestling. You know what I'm saying? So I'm good with it. Thank you.
Well, wrestling, that would be more in like the Alabama type area. That would be more like the South.
You get anybody still talking. You got people who still be from Chicago, where I'm from, out here in L.A. Anyway, they'd be like, you want some wrestling? You'd be like, are you from Oklahoma?
Exactly. I mean, but that really, it's not really the wrestling anymore. I mean, it's. I don't know what you. I guess you can call it wrestling entertainment. I think that's what the majority call it now is entertainment as a whole. No more wrestling.
Well, that's because you know what? I think we've gone past the fact of these major storylines building up. Everybody just want to get to the matches. What happens in the ring and the performers and being a performer, I understand that and having a lot of friends with performers. It's like, yeah, this is what we want to do. But when you look at certain companies, you're like, oh yeah, there's another part to this. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people forget about that.
Yeah, I mean the showmanship and the build up and the larger than life personas and the characters. I mean it's really kind of a thing of the past today.
Yeah, it's a lot of people don't care about storylines, which are some of what made the matches special. Like, granted, don't get me wrong, we get some dope-ass 5-star matches, but some of them are just that. They're just matches. They don't lead to nothing. They don't mean anything. They don't build to anything. They don't grow to anything, and they don't develop. And now, that's cool. You don't always need that. You know what I'm saying? You don't always have to have, oh, man, this goes into something. You can't have a one-off that you're just like, well, damn, didn't expect that. But when you got into the business, when you fell in love with the business, you loved the storylines that were, you know, a part of the matches.
So, Jay, how did you get into the business and want to be a wrestler?
So, I'm from Chicago, like I said, I'm from the South Side, and I always watched it as a kid. That was, you know, that's the thing. And my friends and I, we used to always play Royal Rumble in my grandmother's front lawn, because I stayed with my grandmother. My grandmother, my mother, my brother, and my two uncles, and I was six of us in the crib. And we would always play Royal Rumble in my grandmother's lawn. And my grandmother would get pissed and be like, yo, it's a bunch of other houses. Y'all can do this shit in front of. Why you got to be here? So, like, why this one? And so we would play Royal Rumble to the point where it was the grass. And there was no, like, there were no ropes, of course. So if you got thrown into the concrete, you were eliminated. Which, you pretty much hit your head. You were eliminated for sure. You wasn't getting back in the match. But all that, I fell in love with it, and one of my best friends, who's still my friend to this day, he lived across the alley from me, is my guy named Atlas, and he started training at this place called Windy City Pro Wrestling, and he was like, yo, I'm training to be a wrestler, you should come down and check it out, and I was like, oh man, let me go check it out, and I remember going down there, and I met Sam DeCero, who was the owner of Windy City Pro Wrestling, and Sam was like, yeah, you know, this is the facility, we got a weight room, blah, 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 this is the ring, we train you, and all you need is $2,500, and I was like, all you need is for me to walk out this door, because I ain't got that kind of money. So then he was like, well, you know, if you don't have $2,500, it's $2,000 if you pay it much at once. I was like, what part of I don't have anything like that, don't you catch? Like, I don't know why you thought giving a $500 discount would be something so sweet. And so So I didn't do it. So a couple months later, Atlas had left, and he was like, yo, I've joined this other independent promotion. Come check it out. It's only $40 a month to start training and stuff. And so that's where I went, and I started training. And I remember my first day in practice in the ring, I caught a fire drill. And for those unfamiliar with the business terms, what a fire drill is when you have one person stuck in the middle of the ring taking the same move from everybody else in practice. So imagine being brand new. You just learned how to run the ropes. You just learned how to take a bump. Now you got to take six clotheslines in a row. You got to take eight hip tosses and arm drags and all this stuff in a row. And you got to keep getting up. Because back in the day, it was this, we want to see how tough you are to be in this. Because it was still almost this fraternity to get into. You know, it wasn't to the point where it was just like, okay, I'm starting a school, you can do it. It was still select, but not as select. But yeah, so I took all that and then started training and then got a chance to start performing in Chicago and had some crazy ass gimmicks that I still to this day don't believe happened. I know you're going to end up asking me about it, so might as well tell you. I wrestled barefoot as an African Zulu warrior. I had a dashiki, some biker shorts, and face paint. And there are no photos of this, thank God. I don't want to talk about it no more. We're going to go past that right there.
I like how you slid in there very like casually but quick. Biker shorts.
Oh, yeah, real quick. Like, we talked about it, that was done.
Yeah. Biker shorts, though, is what I picked up on.
I bet it was one. Like, biker shorts, barefoot. What is wrong with you? I was like, I thought the same thing. But, you know, over the time, you know, I got a chance to evolve the gimmick and the personality and learn a little more. And got a chance to do a lot more promotions. And even one out there, you guys, is where I got a chance to be in Chicago several times. You know, got a chance to be King of Trios as a part of the Soul Touches, which was one of the greatest things in my career, you know, to this day. Because of that experience, being in the old bingo hall, you know, in the former ECW arena, was great doing that. And then got a chance to travel a lot more and do some things until I had a neck injury where I had to pull out of the business for a while. Because I was like, yo, it was either my neck or, hey, let me entertain people. And I didn't have that Edge, Kurt Angle, Steve Austin money, you know what I'm saying? There's no such thing as neck fusion surgery. That's just called you in the county, and that's it. And so I pulled to the side, and then luckily, you know, I worked for a chiropractic company. It wasn't as bad as we thought it was going to be. Got a chance to do some physical therapy to my neck rehab it. But at that time, my stand-up career, my acting career started happening. So it was like, what do I want to do? Do I want to do 30 minutes on stage and only need a Gatorade afterwards, or do 30 minutes in the ring and need a nap for 3 days? You know what I'm saying? So guess which one I chose? Gatorade has good flavors. you know what I'm saying? So Gatorade has great flavors, what I'm telling you. So I started doing that, but then I kept getting the itch. So every now and then I would book a match every now and then, and I would book a few little matches, and then I moved out here to SoCal, of course, to follow my career with acting, stand-up, and everything. And, you know, all of a sudden it was like, hey, you know such and such wrestler, don't you? You know this person, you know that person, you know this person. And it was a bunch of people I knew who were not only in the WWE, but were in Impact, were in all these places, and then AEW was starting. And I was like, you know what? My neck does feel great. Like, it was great because all the physical therapy I had done. And so started finding the rings back out here and started bumping around and started feeling myself again. And then once I lost all the weight that I picked up, I was like, oh, I'm in a better shape of my life. And so now it's been being back in the ring, having fun, and being able to do stuff I never thought I could do.
And just for the people that aren't aware, you're not a small dude. What are your measurements?
So right now, before I lost the weight, when I was at my heaviest, I was about almost 360, 400. And this is at a dude that's 5'10". And so now, having cut the weight and, you know, lost weight, I'm at like 297. But when people see it, they'd be like, you can move. You can float around. They like, you can float around the ring. How can you do that? I'm like, well, I trained myself to be light on my feet to move. I've always wanted to be a big dude that can move.
Yeah, big dudes that can't just kind of get stifled in that I'm able to do one thing, like a big chop, something like that.
Yeah, I'm able to do a big chop or a big splash, that's it. Like, people would see me do stuff, and they're like, that's not supposed to happen that way. And I'm like, yeah, because when I first started training, the crazy thing was, when I first started training, I was a sandbag for everybody, whether I tried to be or not. So people would try to pick me up for suplexes, and it was like, you just had to muscle me over. And I'd never forget getting cussed out a lot. Like, that, if you don't jump, and I was like, I was, but what had happened was my ankles was heavy. So like, my ankles kept me down, and gravity, and Jesus didn't want me to leave my feet. So, like, I'm saying, you know, that all that's changed now, and so being able to move around, and then I've always been able to work with the smaller guys, and I like it not just to try to work a smaller style, but to keep up that quickness and that dexterity and keep up and around, move around the ring.
So, now, with coming back and doing comedy, but then your neck feeling better, you want to get into it, the business is probably as hot as it's ever been. What are your goals going forward? Do you just want to wrestle here and there? Do you want to be more all the time?
You know what? Here's the thing. I've been wrestling total for about 20 years. So wrestling has always been in my blood before stand-up, before acting was there, as, you know, TVs and movies, whatever. I would love to be in one of the big companies, because now, when you look at it, the doors are so much, there's so many doors open now. You know what I'm saying? You don't just have to say, well, it's the WWE or bust. It's the WWE, it's AEW, it's Impact, you know, as much as people feel about that. God forbid, it's Ring of Honor. That's the thing. There's MLW, there's just so many different places you can go. And I would love to be able to transition this career back into where I'm like, yo, let this be a full-time me performer all across the country and the world. I would love to do it. You know what I'm saying? I have no problem against it. And I know people will be like, well, what about these other careers? Listen, wrestling is the reason I'm able to do everything now. If I never started out as a wrestler, I don't know if I would have been a stand-up. I don't know if I'd have been an actor. I don't know if I'd have been an internet host and all this other stuff.
Well, not only that, but I'm going to kind of bring it back to what we were talking about earlier. I mean, having your background in acting and comedy, that automatically puts you ahead of the vast majority, because they know you can talk and in front of crowds at that. So you're able to push that storyline however you want to take it, because you're able to verbally progress a storyline.
So there's this thing out here that's called the Movie Trivia Showdown. It's a movie trivia internet game show.
Whoa.
And what it does, it combines movie trivia with professional wrestling. It has the storyline elements, the characters and whatnot, but it's just basic movie trivia. And so one of the guys who created it, Christian Harloff, used to write for the WWE. And so, of course, some of the guys and the girls that come into the game are a lot of internet personalities, a lot of fans of wrestling or whatnot. Some may have seen it, some may have not. But when Christian met me, Christian didn't know my background in wrestling. So he would have everybody cut promos before their match. And he would give them little tidbits and little notes and try to guide them through their promos, because, of course, most of them didn't do it. So he was like, hey, I need you to cut a promo. You think you can do it? I was like, I probably can. And he was like, I just need you to say along this line and say stuff like that. You think you can do that? I was like, I think I might got it. And so I cut the promo, and he was like, wait, whoa, what was that? I was like, was it cool? He was like, that's the best promo I ever heard. He was like, how did you know how to do this? I was like, you must not know my background. I was like, I've been in the business. I know how to talk on a mic. You know, so I know how to move a storyline forward. I know how to be a character. I'll never forget, real quick, we were in Chicago, and it was Windy City Pro Wrestling's Battle of the Belts, the big show we would have every year. We did it at this place called Cicero Stadium, held like 2,000 people. And they had all these factions in the middle of the ring. I was a part of this group called The Cure. It was The Cure, The Union, and something else. And The Union was ran by Sam DeCiro, who was the owner of the company. Now, you know, every company has an owner of the company who feel like they have to be involved in the storyline. Never fails. That's just wrestling.
I mean, Vince might have done it once or twice.
You know, he might have done it. I don't know if he liked it. He just happened to put the WWF title on himself. Just happened to do it.
Yeah.
But the owner of the company was cutting a promo, and he was yelling. He was going off. And I just snatched the mic from him and was like, why don't you stop yelling so you have a stroke? And proceeded to lay into everybody. I had people in the ring trying to hold their composure, dying laughing because I was firing off on them. We got in the back, and Sam was like, where the hell did all that come from? I was like, y'all never give me the mic. Like, y'all never give me the mic. I can do this.
It's always the quiet guy that you gotta worry about. He's the guy that's going to steal the show.
So, yeah, it's always, you know, and that's the beautiful thing. Like you said, now being able to, if I get the chance, you give me a microphone, let me know what you need me to say and what direction it needs to go in. That's all you need to tell me. I don't have to be coached all the way through. I have the energy and the character and the charisma to bring it.
And that's also what's missing from the independent wrestling scene. Like, there's not, I mean, there are talkers, but not necessarily a plethora of them that can communicate with the crowd. I mean, crowds are usually there at indie shows to see the big spots and some of their favorites. Like, you would be hard pressed to find someone that can actually verbally communicate and get in touch with a crowd without having to even step foot or do a move.
Well, that's the thing. That's why, I credit the Performance Center for having a promo class, because they were getting all this talent who either thought they had a personality they could make or just never had it. Because, like you said, the indies now have become, okay, forget all the entertainment. The indies became, forget all the entertainment that you see on TV. It's about wrestling. It's about what's in the ring, which is fine, which is cool. But when you're talking about these big companies that have TV deals, these are television shows that center around wrestling. They're not wrestling shows that center around TV. You know, there's a big difference. So being a character, you've got to be able to bring that out and connect with the audience that's not only in that arena, but watching at home or on their mobile phone.
Exactly, and that's why you see the top two companies right now who are the ones with the best talkers. I mean, you have Chris Jericho, who's arguably the best still in the business. And then on the other side, I mean, you have guys like Seth Rollins. You have, the Velveteen Dream for NXT. I mean,
which, by the way, let me say this. The Velveteen Dream is everything I love in a performer. I never thought I would look at a performer and be like, all right, this is Rick Rude-esque, Adrian Adonis, all these other personalities I've seen, but then watch him make it into his own. And basically now, his whole persona is based off of Hogan telling him he would never be anything.
Yeah, and now he's one, if not the most over person on that roster.
Yep.
Maybe, I mean, people have been begging for him to make his way to the main roster. He's been saying it himself. He's main roster ready for years.
But I think also that's another thing you just brought up. Johnny Gargano talked about this the other day. We don't have to call it the main roster anymore.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? Because if you watch the shows that NXT put on, and not only just the regular weekly shows, their takeovers, you're like, oh, they are a legitimate threat to everybody else. They're not just it's a threat to Raw and SmackDown. No, they're a threat to other companies. These guys and girls are busting their asses.
Yeah. I said this to Larry the other day. I said, it doesn't matter what AEW can do, weekly numbers and whatnot, how they beat NXT weekly, but, I mean, they couldn't compete if they went head-to-head with an NXT TakeOver, I don't think. They're arguably the best pay-per-views yearly.
Listen, what Dominik Dijakovic and Keith Lee just did to take over Portland to kick off the show.
Yes.
I don't think people understand. Like, people are like, yo, the match is dope. Yes, the match was a classic. It was a clinic. But to have them kick off the show and to have all of that pressure behind everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Not the main roster like normally when we see a takeover before SummerSlam or Royal Rumble, but the rest of the NXT roster who's already like, yo, we got to steal the show, to have the first match come out the gate and was like, all right, we curtain jerking, you're going to see what's about to happen.
Yeah, that was, I believe I said this to Larry, that was take that or what did I?
Follow that.
Follow that. That's the follow that mentality. Like, okay, every time
that's exactly what that was. It was follow this. It was follow it, okay? Y'all have fun. We're going to go in the back. We're going to go and clean up, have some laughs, go catering. But y'all follow all that, okay?
Yep. I think that's the mentality for the whole roster, though. Whoever gets put on that first spot, that's the whole mentality. I think that's what they teach. They breed.
But it's that iron sharpens iron, too, and everybody stays hungry. And, you know, granted, the thing was years ago to go to the main roster. But once NXT got its USA deal, that whole thing changed. You didn't have to go to the main roster to be on main TV. Now you're on TV every week. Your job is to stay on TV. Now, yes, would you want to be in a bigger arena? Possibly. But some gimmicks on NXT don't work in a 15,000-seat arena. Tyler Breeze is a prime example of that. Tyler Breeze is a great talent, but his talent only works on a smaller scale arena.
I can agree with that. I mean, they did catch a little fire with the whole Breezango thing and the cops.
The fashion police?
The fashion police. Yeah. I couldn't think of that to save my life. But, yeah, I mean, they caught a little fire, but, I mean, people say, oh, you didn't give them a chance, but sometimes you catch fire and you burn out real quick.
Yeah, and it's all about, now, granted, there are certain people that a company is going to be behind. No matter what, you're going to have those stars that the bookers and the owners are going to want to push. Like how we, for years, everybody keeps going, oh, damn, they keep pushing Roman Reigns. They keep pushing Roman Reigns. Well, as much as we think they boo Roman Reigns at house shows, they love Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
So they're going to push him. House shows are where they find out something works.
I sat in a sold out 17,000 person Raw the night that Roman Reigns beat Sheamus for the title. And it was like the first time there was a title, main title change on Raw in forever. That crowd went absolutely apeshit. Like, that was the loudest, that was one of the loudest pops I've ever heard live for Roman Reigns winning the title. I mean, the next night he got booed in New York, but still, he had that night in Philly.
Right, yeah, but there's certain nights. See, there's certain arenas, too, that are known for being the way they are. Like, there's certain crowds you're like, man, we don't know what we're going to get with this one. But you love that, too. You love that because it, also it's the unpredictability of the fandoms, of, you know, of fans, how they're like, yo, 1 minute, we know we're supposed to like you, but we're going to go against what everybody else says, and we just going to hate you. But that's cool. But again, you have these people who get over, who are stars. You know, you go back to, like I said, with the NXT thing. Would Johnny Gargano work on the main roster? Johnny Gargano would not be on the main roster, per se. He would be on 205 Live because he's so much smaller.
Yeah, he's got that disadvantage. But, I mean, here you go. A guy that is big enough, and he should be, like Rusev. Like, Rusev got over three or four gimmicks. Like, he got over huge. He just
on his own.
On it, yes, on his own. I think that's part of the problem, that he's doing it on his own and it's not under company guidelines.
Well, remember that happened to Zack Ryder. Remember Zack Ryder made this whole internet thing about himself and they did not like it.
Because it wasn't their idea.
It wasn't their idea.
But, I mean, it's one thing to bite your nose off to spite your face, but it's your company. Like, you're there to make money. If this is going to make you, it's not like he's going to sell t-shirts out of the back of his car. Like, you own the properties to this. Capitalize on it.
Yeah, you would think they think that way, but it's like so many people are so, you know, stuck on, hey, I gotta be this person. We gotta make this happen our way because it's not gonna work any other way. And then you find out they're like, oh, there are other ways for things to work. It just doesn't go like that.
Yeah, and I think now with the other company, the competition, quote unquote, I mean, you can't think like the old ways, like, okay, we have to, if someone's over, we got to get them on TV in some capacity.
Well, remember, that's why Triple H started talking to Vince about signing these quote-unquote internet stars. I mean, let's be honest, Leo Rush is a great talent, but if Leo Rush wouldn't have went viral for the powerbomb ladder spot, I don't think they would have picked him up as quick as they did.
Yeah, that was it's the get them before they get got type thing.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. And they signed a lot of people like that. When Keith started making a bunch of noise, granted there wasn't a, I don't know if they knew of AEW being in the runnings or whatnot, but they were like, yes, let's get him. We need him. You know? And it's like, oh, who's this guy he's having all these matches with? Let's get him too. And so you hear all these people, and the internet now has made a bigger buzz because the WWE and AEW and all these companies are evolving and understanding that fan bases aren't just what they see in the stands.
Oh, yeah, that's huge. I mean, the majority of the numbers are the TV.
Yep. TV and social media.
Yeah.
Like, when they have they'll post a video on YouTube, no matter what company. If it gets over 500,000 views, it's a success because that's what it's meant to do.
Yeah. I mean, like the CM Punk Fox News debut and how that I think, like, 75,000 people watched it live, but it had over, like, 2 million on YouTube.
Right, and that's the thing. People are like, oh, well, didn't nobody really watch it live? Like, yo, it doesn't matter. Look what the follow-up is.
Yeah.
Look how many people are sharing this video. Look how many people are talking about it consistently. If you do a SEO search for CM Punk right after that, it's everything popping up to his debut on WWE Backstage. And that's the goal. That's how you learn as a company to evolve. Like, it's not just about one thing anymore. We're trying to reach audiences in this business.
So, Jay, you said the company evolving. When you say that, but then on the other hand, you have a company who has to bring in Goldberg on the road to WrestleMania and rumors of John Cena coming back to wrestle at WrestleMania. It almost, they seem to keep getting it wrong with these bringing these legends back instead of elevating guys like Cesaro or Big E, guys that can deliver on the mic and in the ring. I mean, I understand they want to sell tickets and they're big names, but you got to start building these guys instead of relying on Goldberg and Cena.
Well, the thing is, when it comes to Mania, and I agree, I wholeheartedly agree, but we know that Goldberg is initially just showing up at Super Showdown because the Prince who bought the shows won him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not an initial, you know, Vince thing. That's like, hey, this dude wants him. And to an extent, Goldberg brings eyes, whether we hate him or not. That's another thing people forget. Yes, I understand. I just talked about the evolution of the business, but people hate watch stuff too.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
People hate watch stuff.
Not only do they hate watch it now, they like hate watch it and hate bitch and complain about it at the same time. It's like hate watching to the extreme.
Yeah, it's you and when they complain about it, they're doing it on social media where they want you to keep talking about it, because no matter if you're quote unquote shitting on it, you're still giving it traction. And so Cena coming back, Cena is a big name. Now, I agree. There are people they should elevate. The problem with Cesaro is, and I love Claudio because I remember working with him at Chikara. The best thing with Claudio that they had going was when he was with the bar, with him and Sheamus.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact they didn't put them back together is a big mistake for the two of them. They need to make them put them back together, unless they're waiting. Unless they're trying to, you know, play this game out and say, let's see what these tag teams got. Then we'll put them back together. But it's like, what show do you put them on? Because if you put the bar on SmackDown, then they're going to have great matches. If you put the bar on Raw, you're like, what are we going to get?
You're going to get the bar versus AOP.
The Viking Raiders, AOP, and the club.
Yeah. So you're not getting your five-star matches there.
Right, but if you put them against the Usos, you put them against the New Day, you put them against Rude and Ziggler, different combinations you have there on SmackDown, you're like, yo, this will change and elevate this division. You have a lot of talent like that, but also it's up to that talent to step up in a sense. Everybody has that responsibility. Yeah, I know it's only so much like, well, they cut our time to three minutes from entrance to as soon as we hit the ring, what do? You make that 3 minutes count.
You were saying...
I'm sorry.
Yeah, so you were saying a bunch of names. I was just thinking about, man, the bar versus Miz and Morrison, just to see Cesaro versus Morrison. That's something I want to see.
Exactly. You see what I'm saying? SmackDown would give you a plethora of tag team matches with them two. But that's what with Cesaro. It's Cesaro has had these few moments where you're like, man, there's no doubt what Cesaro does in the ring is amazing. But because of the WWE style, again, entertainment with the personalities, we have to look at more than what we just see in the ring. And that's the reason you bring a Cena back, because everybody knows Cena's 6-7 moves. It is what it is. But Cena's entertaining as hell no matter what.
My biggest pop moment was this past WrestleMania we went to when Cena came out as the Doctor of Thugonomics.
Yeah.
I literally almost jumped three rows.
I lost my mind seeing that. Because, first of all, you're like, wait, this is something we haven't seen in God knows how long. And it's the proverbial, is this the heel turn that everybody's been talking about and waiting for from Cena for years?
And then he went to make a kids movie, but still.
Hey, listen, that kids movie probably paid about $3-4 million. Make that kids movie in a fireman suit, Cena.
That's it. I thought Cena would be pulling in more than that.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. At the minimum, probably $3-4 million. Do you understand? If we're saying the minimum for him is something I wish I had just on one time.
Yes.
Like, that's the minimum for one movie.
Yeah, I think you give him $1 million easy just for the haircut. And then maybe you pile on a couple extra mil just for shits and gigs.
Because that's what they probably gave him for that chain he wears in the new Fast and Furious movie. $1 million. Well, we don't need to put you on a chain so you look like a badass. It's sterling silver. We got it from JCPenney. Can you rock this? $1 million. Cool. Back.
I mean, they couldn't even give him the real chain with the lock on it?
Hey, listen. Sterling silver worth $1 million, it don't matter. All it does is it brings eyes into it. And that's another thing too. A lot of the guys and the girls have learned that if you can catapult your success in this industry to other things such as TV and film, where you don't have to have that abuse on your body anymore. The Miz tried it with the Marine, but then we all saw the Marine. You know what I'm saying? But you have David Otunga, who's one of my best friends. You know, despite the movies he's in, David is still doing movies and TV shows. They bring David in to do the pre-shows for a pay-per-view, but now he's able to have this career outside of it. You have, again, Cena. You have Austin, who now has all these different TV shows.
Yeah, podcast, TV shows, beer. I mean,
everything. That's the thing, and you want to be able to, you want to establish this life after wrestling. The Undertaker, we don't see his big life. This dude owns real estate companies.
Well, that I did not know.
Real estate, the thing people people always say, if you want to invest in something,
hold up, hold up, hold up. Is it called Dead Man Inc.?
I don't think. I don't know if nobody wants to buy a brand new house or building. Listen, we got this thing being sold by Dead Man Inc. I understand the name. The guy, Mark Calloway, he's a great guy, super good guy. You're going to love his heart. Wrestles as The Undertaker. I know, sounds deadly. He's not. Like, it's just going to cool.
Is that someone you want to give 1.7 mil to? Maybe.
Possibly.
Then will I feel fear for my life if I do? Maybe. So here's your 1.7.
Would I be mad if he asked me something I told him knowing he gave me a certain look? I'd probably piss myself. Yes.
If his eyes roll back in your head, you know he's excited. He's ready for
this
deal. That
means he's closed the deal. That means the deal closed.
He rested in peace. That's a great gimmick for a real estate agent.
I mean, so if somebody hears this and all of a sudden opens Dead Man Inc. Realty, we want the royalties. It's a small percentage off your first sale.
I'm game. Can we get in on this? So basically what we were talking about, and correct me if I'm wrong, is the wrestlers now have to become like their own brand. Like they have to become their own brand, and they have to, through social media and any outlet they can, have to invest in themselves and get themselves out there in different aspects, not just in the wrestling ring.
Yeah, you have to be – the thing is, you have to be marketable. You have to have value in your name outside of what just can you do in this ring, because unfortunately, myself and anybody who ever steps through those ropes know it's not a forever thing.
No,
it's not.
The bumps that you take.
At any moment, it could be your in-ring career can be done. Now, granted, we've seen these comebacks. We've seen the Edge. We've seen the Daniel Bryan. But guess what we also know about them, too? They have multi-million dollars in the accounts, in the bank accounts, to afford the therapy and the treatment to get them back to that situation, to that place. Everyone else doesn't.
I'm pretty sure Edge sold, like, maybe his soul or a limb or something, because he was never supposed to be cleared.
Yeah, he was never – he sold something. He sold his firstborn. He sold a kidney. He sold a lock of Beth Phoenix's hair. Something. Something. But he is back in the ring. But he also – you got to remember, we're talking 9 years ago.
Yeah.
The strides that are made in medical advancement and technology in 9 years are immense. So things that were thought impossible were like, no, we probably can do something.
That's insane to even fathom that. I mean – recovery time for anybody that has a taxing career, but I mean, for what we're talking about now, professional wrestling, I mean, to think that the impossible is now possible gives everyone some hope.
But also remember too, outside of wrestling, what did Edge do? He didn't just go to doing commentary. He did the Edge and Christian podcast, which became super popular, but then went to have his own TV show.
Yeah, Vikings, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, had his own TV show. You have a lot of other personalities now who are making the brand on certain other things outside of it. Now, granted, when it comes to the WWE and having a bunch of friends who work on the roster, work as refs, and work in the office, in the corporate office, unless they approve a lot of things, you can't do too much. But let's go to Xavier Woods. Up, up, down, down. This was something he had been doing. And the WWE was like, okay, cool. Then all of a sudden, when it started hitting massive numbers, what did the WWE do? They didn't tell them to shut it down. They wanted to be a part of it.
That's the smartest thing they could possibly do. Why shut
that
down
was
something?
The smartest thing they could do.
Why shut down something that you can profit off of?
And a lot of people forget that. It's like, no matter what, they're profiting off of it, but it's still Xavier Woods's. It's not the WWE's. They don't own up, up, down, down. He still does.
And you're getting a better product because now they're able to run the production. Like, you're getting the best equipment that you could possibly get to help create your monster, so to speak.
Yeah, and then on top of that, not only are you going to get all these wrestlers from your own company, but because of what the show is, you can maybe one day have an off day and get somebody from an AEW, all these other companies, or somebody else to come play a video game with you.
I mean, go ahead. No, it's not even that. Like, you can get, like, big-time celebrities. Everyone plays, I mean, not everyone, but a vast majority play video games. I mean, that's a popular thing.
You got Xavier Woods out here now working on a very popular RPG channel that I've done stuff with, Hyper RPG. and now being a part of that community not only expands his brand, but for people who are into the, you know, role-playing games and tabletop games who never watched pro wrestling, when he goes back with the New Day, now those are new eyes on the product.
Absolutely. I mean, it works tenfold. I mean, how the company is helping itself and he's helping the company, and in turn, they're both making money and getting more eyes on the brand.
Yep, absolutely.
So, speaking of eyes on the brand, switching over a little bit, Saturday night, Tyson Fury faced Deontay Wilder and put a whooping on him.
Yeah.
And now he's the champ. Triple H and Stephanie were in attendance. You have to believe that now, more than ever, Tyson Fury could be featured at WrestleMania. Because
absolutely,
you got to hop on this while it's still hot, and nothing's hotter than just becoming the new champion.
The new heavyweight champion beating an undefeated man? Absolutely. Absolutely, you have him at WrestleMania.
Oh, so they're going to do title versus title, Fury versus Strowman?
I just had to catch my breath thinking about that for a second. Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, because the possibility of Tyson Fury becoming Intercontinental Champion, just to have it for a week or two.
Yeah. You're telling it's WrestleMania weekend. Anything could happen that weekend, and yep. I think I might have just spoken into an existence.
You probably did, and that's the thing. You probably just have. You probably have just spoken it into existence because, again, it's eyes on the product.
Oh, it's massive eyes, and then you got the Raw after Mania. I mean, what are you going to see? See Tyson Fury walking out with two titles.
And I think the thing a lot of people get upset about, you know, a lot of fans are like, well, why do you have to bring all these people in? And why they just can't use the roster? It's WrestleMania. WrestleMania is bigger in some instances than the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Depending on who you talk to.
So you have to have in eyes that are not just in the wrestling world. You have to go everywhere.
Not only that, but you're putting on a show that's probably borderline 8 hours long, and chances are that some people are only going to tune in to see what they want to see. But, I mean, you got to put together the most interesting show possible so that people are staying tuned in as long as possible.
I would rather them just go ahead and call it 2 days if they're going to do 8 hours, because that's ridiculous.
Well, that's what we sat in.
Yeah.
8 hours.
I watched it. That's it. I couldn't imagine sitting in it. I watched it, and I was like, this is way too long.
Yeah, that definitely had its lulls. I mean, and the problem is that you couldn't get up for the stuff that you should have. Like, the Balor match was just, it was just, you couldn't get the energy. It was right after Kofi. And then after that match was Triple H and Batista, and that match went on for a half hour too long, and then people were just wiped out after that.
Well, it wiped out by the time it comes time for the freaking main event, which, you know, granted, it had its lulls in the match, but the match could have had more response, but everybody's drained.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was just one of the most draining experiences, and then to get downpoured on for 2.5 hours afterwards was icing on the cake.
WrestleMania.
There can only be one.
So, Jay, are you currently still doing stand-up as well?
Yes.
You are. So, you want to give out some dates and where you'll be? That way, you promote yourself a little bit?
Absolutely. So, I'm not sure exactly when this will air, but I know Wednesday I'll be back in Chicago doing Comedians You Should Know at Timothy O'Toole's at 9:30 p.m. Saturday, 7:15 and 9:15, I'll be at the Laugh Factory in Chicago. I'll be back there on Sunday as well, and I think some other dates are coming up. The 10th of March back out here in Placentia, California, I'm doing the show. Everything I'll have, all my stand-up shows, all the flyers, all the info, all that will be up on my social media at Mr. J. Washington.
Have you ever been to Punchline or Helium in Philly?
No, I haven't. And I've been trying to get out there. I know a bunch of comics out there. I know a bunch of people out there. I know someone who used to run Helium. They're not there anymore. But my goal is to actually start touring a little bit more with stand-up. And every time I planned it, like, literally, I'm like, all right, cool, it's 3 months or whatever, I'm going to go just hit the road on stand-up. I book something, and I'm like, well, guess what I'm not doing?
Stand-up?
Because, like, when I book something, it's nice paying. So, like, I don't think I can go ahead and, you know, move out on the money.
You got to take the guaranteed money.
I know, right?
Always bet on yourself.
That's the beautiful thing about all of literally all of these businesses. That's why I tell everybody I love stand-up, because it's so much like pro wrestling. The businesses parallel themselves so much, it is ridiculous. You know, I joked earlier about the 30 minutes on stage versus 30 minutes on the ring, but when you deal with fans, when you deal with promoters, when you deal with shows, when you deal with trying to get paid, oh my God, I can't take any paydays. I've had to, you know, hem some people up for, like, yo, and it's indie wrestling sometimes, so it's like, can I get my $50? Like, which is really sad that I'm trying to chase you down for $50. But they parallel each other so much.
Now, do you ever bring wrestling into your comedy act?
I've talked about it. So when I first started back home in Chicago, you know, I would talk about it. I would talk about being a wrestler. I would give a little, I would do those things about different moves and stuff. And I remember people would come up to me after the show. They was like, yo, you look real familiar. I think I've seen you somewhere before. And I would try to play it off and play dumb and be like, man, you probably seen me do a show somewhere. They was like, no, I think I seen you close around somebody unconscious. And I was like, that wasn't me. Cause I don't want to, you know, it probably was me, but I'm like, it wasn't me. So I've had people see me who've known me from wrestling. I've had people who've come up to me still and be like, yo, I was at 2009's Kika Trios with you in the Soul Touches. I just saw you wrestle in, you know, in Anaheim or whatever like that. And I'm like, it's just still a great feeling.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And, no, I just lost my train of thought. It happens from time to time.
It happens to all of us. Don't feel bad.
I don't. It happens often for me, but, I mean, I just deal with it now. It's a part of me.
So, Jay, aside from your stand-up schedule, is there anything else you want to promote? Any more social media or anything?
Sure. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Mr. Jay Washington. That's M-R-J-A-Y. You should know how to spell Washington. I have my own podcast called the Mad Titan Podcast, where I get people caught up on everything that's happening in the Marvel and DC live action and cinematic universes. I call it Barbershop Talk for Nerds. So I tell everybody come on in that convo. Also, myself and Winston A. Marshall, we do a show called Blurbs in the Hood. It's two black nerds talking about everything from nerd world, anime, pop culture, sports, and so much in between. We're on YouTube. Just search Blurbs, the letter in the Hood. I'll be wrestling in Compton on March 7th. I just had the whole flyer right here. I hate when I do that. Like, I just had the flyer. Yeah, I'm doing a show called Compton Mania. Yeah, it's called Compton Mania. Yep, I know exactly how it sounds like. It's going down Saturday, March 7th, 1405 South Center Street in Compton, California. Door time's at 7, bell time's at 8. I will be wrestling Robert Banks. He just went on the New Japan Tour. We've seen on NXT and a whole lot more, so we're doing that. And I'm doing the Ability First WrestleFest 3 out in Inglewood, California on March 28th.
Wow. So you mean we went through this 40-some minutes of interview, and I just found out now that you're a Marvel fan as well?
I am I am big in the nerd world, so talking Marvel and DC all the time. I call myself the resident supervillain. Again, the podcast is called the Mad Titan Podcast. And so, like, I'm a big-ass nerd, grew up in the hood, and still is a nerd to this day.
Damn. So we might have to have you on a follow-up.
We absolutely can't do that.
All right, we're going to put it in the books.
So, Jay, thanks so much for taking the time talking with us. We really appreciate it. And hopefully...
Man, thank you for y'all, man. Thank you for having me on. This was fun. This was fun.
A lot of fun. And yes. I laughed really hard, which is always my goal.
Good.
So thanks again, and have a good night, Jay.
You too, fellas.
Take it easy.
And there we go. Our interview with Jay Washington. One of the funnest conversations I've had in a long time.
Yeah, it was a lot. I mean, the good thing about the interviews that we've put on, they're all pretty much different. I mean, some of the questions might be the same, but the way that the people have answered them have all pretty much been different. And there's all different viewpoints of how they look at the business and whatnot. It was nice to get another opinion and another look in at viewpoint of wrestling. I don't know. I just went went brain fart again. I went brain fart in the interview, and I went brain fart now. God, brain is gas today.
Just another viewpoint.
Yeah, just another viewpoint, yeah. But with a comedic twist.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I think that'll about wrap the show. We hope you enjoyed the interview with Jay Washington.
Wrap it up. I'll take it. I couldn't leave us with no music. I had to give us just a little taste of music.
And like Jay was saying, if you're into DC, Marvel, and all that, like, Joe is a nerd about.
Whoa. Don't take cheap shots at the end of the show. Just because we're ending a show doesn't mean you got to throw in a last-minute cheap shot at me.
I'm just talking, that's all. Check out Mad Titan Podcast and give them a subscribe and all that good stuff. And speaking of that, make sure to give us a 5-star rating, subscribe. Helps us out.
So give us all your money.
Yeah, that too. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll be talking to you very soon.
Later.